Uh-oh. You broke it, Angie.
I broke it. My goodness.
Oh, is it the thing down at the bottom?
Gosh, we got the Hulk over here.
I can't see my papers.
Oh, it's fine up here.
She's crazy.
I want to talk with you about two topics. And again, it's a little more focused towards the girls, since it's a girls' night out. But two topics, modesty and abstinence. These are two topics that are very near and dear to my heart. And though I'm not perfect by any means, as I said, they're dear to my heart, and I strive to please God in both of those things. So, get your ideas. What are some examples of immodest dress? So you see someone at school, so yes, low-cut shirts, that's one. What's another?
Short shorts.
Yeah, short shorts. Those little runner shorts, you know. What else?
The shirts that have, like, don't have anything here.
Yeah, that have those big, wide, open armholes. Yeah. And it's nasty when guys wear them, too. Only if you're in the gym. These guys that wear them out in public. I'm like, anything else? Too much what?
Too much lace.
Lace.
Mm-hmm.
Super tight.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Transparent.
Transparent, yeah. And those are some, a lot of fashions that are popular right now. Those are all great things. So some truth or bear fashion tests. And I know this seems silly. You guys know this. But if you raise your hands in the air and you can see any belly, it's too short. So find some way, either buy longer shirts or wear tank tops underneath or something to cover that up. How short is too short? This is hard. But if you sit in front of a full-length mirror, and if you're in shorts, you sit crisscross applesauce, look at yourself in the mirror, sorry for preschoolers, see if you see underwear or too much thigh, then you know they're too short. With a skirt, you know, if you sit down and you cross your legs, look in the mirror, if you can see way up, you know it's probably too short. Finding longer dresses is a challenge these days, and I know I have tried to find ones for performance and stuff, and it's hard because in the junior section, or even in the ladies, they're all up to here, or you buy like a muumuu dress from Sears, you know, one of those old. But no, so it's hard to find them, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. But I see London, I see France, so if you bend over and touch your knees, and if you can see your underwear, if the color of your underwear is showing through your pants or your shorts, which some girls are doing on purpose, you either need to wear longer shirts, wear a tank top underneath your shirt, or wear pants that don't ride so low. But one of the things, too, slips, you know, great invention. Debbie Gary goes, Do people even know what slips are anymore? So, you know, just some things to think about if things are see-through. One of the things that's hard is my shirt too tight. You know, if you press in the valley and it springs back like a trampoline, then you know it's probably a little too tight. interesting thing, shirts can also be too loose. And it's hard when you've gained weight. You know, I've gained weight since I've come to Muncie, you know, doctoral 15. but, you know, sometimes shirts can be too loose as well, so that you have to be careful that way too. And again, one of the tests, you know, if you look in the mirror and you bend forward and you can see stuff, you know it's too short. If you look in my closet, and like I said, I'm no... you know, I'm not perfect, but I have about 20 different tank tops, many white and black and tan, but I have to wear tank tops almost under the majority of my shirts because all of them are just so low these days. And I pin stuff, you know, I just find that you have to do that these days. And again, like we said, the sheer shirts. It's popular now, and I've seen around Ball State to wear colored bras and just have bras underneath, and it just leaves nothing to the imagination. So, seems like a bunch of rules. Why on earth why does it matter? You know? Why does it matter to dress this way? Who cares? What's the point?
What you say.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Because, obviously, for guys, their minds are set. And if they see something, like he said, they want it. They're intoxicated by that. So the reason why we dress that way is to help our brothers in Christ keep their minds on Christ and not to be distracted by those things. And this is not just young men, but older men as well. Even men that are 60 years old. I hate to say it, but, you know, even guys in church, that's kind of... But just important to know. Okay, Matthew 5, 27 through 29 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." And Romans 14:13 says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way." So that's one of the main reasons why modesty is so important. And as he said, you know, reasons why girls may dress that way. They're insecure. They want attention. And like he said, lots of times it's negative attention. Peer pressure is a big one. Everybody's wearing this stuff. So you feel like, if I wear shorts down to here, I feel like a 35-year-old. You know, I feel like an old woman. You know, it's hard, but Galatians 1:10 says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." And so being a follower of Christ means that you're not always going to fit in. And like I said, this doesn't mean you have to wear tents and muumuus, although in India it's very popular to wear, that's the dress. No, I shouldn't say that. They're very good. But you know, but it's that same thing where they're, I mean, it's completely covered and they're absolutely beautiful. If you look at Susanna's aunt, you know, just gorgeous dress, but they don't need to show anything. So again, like I said, you can still be attractive while dressing modestly. I'm not against jewelry or makeup or anything being feminine, but it's important to find your confidence from God and not from other people's opinions. When I was a senior in high school, I thought I had to be tan. And so I did tanning beds in my senior year of high school, freshman year of college, sometimes 4 or 5 times a week. Stupid. I was very tan. No protection, no sun protection at all. I never used sunscreen. And so I was, and you look at me, I'm a pretty pale person. So I have some skin damage because of that. And looking back, I'm like, why on earth did I spend that money just to be tan and to think, you know, it causes skin cancer? And I'm thinking, would my friends not have liked me if I was pale? Would I not have been attractive to guys if I was pasty? And I thought, well, you know what? I'm like, they wouldn't really be my friends. They wouldn't really be real friends. And it wouldn't be a guy that I'd want to be with anyway. You know, so it's a hard thing. But like what he said in the video, you know, it may be negative attention. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And I know you've heard it many times, but you're beautiful just the way you are. And you've heard the Johnny Diaz song, "There Could Never Be Another Beautiful You." I don't know if they have that on the radio stations here, but don't buy the lies, disguises, and hoops they make you jump through. You were made to fill a purpose that only you could do, so there could never be a more beautiful you. something for guys and girls. A principle of guarding your heart is very important. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So one of the hardest things, if you are watching TV, and this is for guys and for girls, if you are watching TV or something, a movie, and the content becomes sexual, turn it off. Walk out of the room. If you're with friends and it's awkward to do that and you feel stupid, avert your eyes. I've done that before. Watching Forrest Gump, that shows my age, with friends in high school. I mean, and it's a great movie, but some of the scenes in that are pretty risque. And I remember at times, you know, I was like, I don't want to watch. So I just averted my eyes. And I mean, you can still hear stuff, but still, it's better than just watching it. So the more you watch a sexual content on TV or other media, the more and more desensitized you become to it. So shows even like Dancing with the Stars, that's pretty sexual. The outfits that those women wear and the dances that they do, it's very sensual. And so really, I'm not judging anybody who watches it or, you know, saying you should judge them, but you just have to be careful that those images that you put in your heart and your mind, that you're careful about what goes in, because they may stay with you for the rest of your life, whether you want them to or not. Sex sells, and so these commercials on TV are becoming increasingly risque. Many times, I just avoid them altogether. But I encourage you, if a commercial offends you, if a commercial is gross, write the company. I've written several. I've written Kmart, about that boxer ad last Christmas, the jingling bells. Yeah. I've written Hardee's, and I've told them I'm never shopping or going there anymore. The Hardee's commercials are disgusting. I stopped going to Victoria's Secret because I just thought I don't want to give them my money. I don't want to support a company like that. And GoDaddy too. I had a website through GoDaddy, and I saw their and I was just like, this is nasty. I'm not giving you my money anymore. So, but yeah, I mean, don't be afraid to write those companies, and especially if you say your age and be like, hey, I'm 16 and this stuff is disgusting, because they probably think, oh, it's only 60-year-olds that think. But you know, it may make a difference. You never know. So that's some stuff kind of about modesty, purity. talking a little bit about abstinence. So God tells us in many places in the Bible that sex is for marriage alone. In 1 Corinthians 6, he says a lot about it. Verses 12 through 13 say, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And again, it says later in the chapter 18 through 20, it says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." And again, it says in 1 Thessalonians, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality." And it goes on, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." In our society, many times, people make fun of virgins. If you think of the movie, although it's like 9 years ago, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which basically, it's this really nerdy 40-year-old guy who his friends, his coworkers are making fun of him because he's still a virgin, and they're encouraging him to, I think it's rated R, I've never seen it, but, you know, you're kind of made fun of. But there are still, obviously, virgins in our society who have made that commitment. And I want to show a video of a woman. Now, some of the stuff she wears is a little, but, I mean, it's not like nasty, but she was on a reality TV show, and because she was the only virgin out of like 35 or 36 contestants, it became, it was a testimony. I'll show you a little bit about her.
Angela Zadopek, a 25-year-old blonde beauty from Houston, Texas, beat out 35 other contestants on NBC's matchmaking series Ready for Love to win her man, 31-year-old bachelor Ben Patton, a hospital CEO from Dallas, Texas. But Zadopek says it was her decision to stay a virgin until she marries that became a major focus on the show. I recently sat down with Angela, who told me that when she first arrived on the Ready for Love set, her dating coach told her that her virginity was a problem and would hurt her chances at winning a proposal.
She told me, you know, I'm not sure how Ben's going to feel about you. Ben is the bachelor, therefore. Because he's looking for a modern day woman, and the physical part is so important for a relationship.
So essentially she was saying you couldn't be a modern day woman unless you were willing to sleep with these guys.
Exactly, yes. It's sad that women are under the impression in that way to hear those things that you need to do that, because you don't need to do that to get the guy. You know, I was the only virgin on the cast out of 36 women, so.
Wow. That's kind of sad.
No, I mean, you know, I'm no better than anyone else just because I made that choice. You know, we're all sinners.
Zadopek became a Christian at 16 and made the decision to save the ultimate intimacy for one man, her husband. She hopes her decision inspires a new generation of young women to stay sexually pure before marriage.
They were taking me back to wardrobe, and this little girl who was 12 years old broke through security, and she just came to me with tears on her face, and she said, I just want to let you know I'm waiting to until I'm married. And she was like, I'm scared to tell my friends or tell boys my choice. And
she was only 12.
Yeah, and that broke my heart.
Well, what about Ben, the bachelor? What did he think about your stand for no sex before marriage?
He was honest with me in the sense of he had never dated somebody that had those beliefs, and it was something new for him, but he grew to respect it.
Why do you think God opened the door for you to be on this dating show?
I feel like God knew that I could take this on, because I know that I've been criticized and people can make fun of it, or a lot of people speculated, she's not going to win, she's a virgin.
But you did win.
Clearly, yeah.
The virgin won.
I did.
The virgin.
No, I think maybe, I don't know, God knew that I, at the end of the day, I have an audience of one to please.
Yeah.
And people can say all they want, but I really feel like it was his will for me to go on the show and show women that you can still be cool and sexy and be in the world, but not of the world.
Now, back to Ben. You were Ben's choice.
I was, yes. Ben is a great guy. Since filming Wrapped, we have been apart for the last year. Basically, they've kept us apart because we're under contract and we can't see each other. Being apart in that year, not being able to see each other at a time, we really got to talk on the phone a lot and have a lot of heart-to-heart conversations. And I just knew that it wasn't who God had for me at the end of the day. You know, I know God has somebody great out there for me. So, and I still held on to my values. And that's why you wait.
That's why you wait.
Yeah.
Today, Angela's happily single and working on a new line of jewelry called the One Love Collection. She's also finishing a book about her upbringing as well as dating and why it's important to guard your heart and wait until marriage for sex.
Why is it so important for women to wait and not give themselves away?
I just truly believe that through waiting and preserving that for your marriage and for your husband, God will just bless you. I just think it's an awesome testimony to be able to stand there on the day that you say, I do, and say, baby, I waited for you. I told all those other guys. And just, I waited.
Wendy Griffith, CBN News.
So pretty neat story, neat testimony. Giving my own testimony in this area, many people cannot believe that I am almost 35 and still a virgin. When I was in junior high, I made the commitment to save sex for marriage and remain pure until my wedding night. and I never thought I'd still be waiting this long. But at that point in junior high, I had kind of matured faster than my friends had, and had some senior high guys pursuing me, and even had a senior ask me to the prom when I was in junior high. And my parents wisely said, no way. But, you know, and looking back, this guy was pretty sketchy. And I don't encourage that kind of an age gap. The next year, though, however, I did get to go with the senior. But I liked it. I felt validated by it. I was like, ooh, older guys like, you know, and I was getting attention from these guys. And in high school and college, although I never went all the way, I did kiss several guys. And even just a kiss, especially for a girl, gives away a little part of your heart. During that time, I was in a lot of musicals and had to kiss the leading man. I was one of the leads and would have to kiss the guy. And we didn't do the stage fake kiss, we did the real thing. And during those times, each of those guys, I became attached in a way. Even though we weren't a thing, I just couldn't kiss them and not let them be close to my heart. I couldn't keep from falling in love with them in a way. Not love, I shouldn't say that. But you know what I mean. And even still, to this day, you know, those guys have a special place in my heart. And we still keep in touch, you know. But... I mean, Facebook, just a little, not like, I think they're all married at this point, so it's like, hi, cute baby, that's basically what that is. So one of the hardest things with kissing, you know, I don't think kissing is wrong, but it very easily leads to more, and one of the worst things you can do is put yourself in a tempting situation where you're by yourselves. So someone's parents are gone and you decide to go to the house alone, you know, putting yourself in a compromising situation, one, it kind of looks bad. I mean, people are like, what are you doing? But also two, it's just very, very hard, to remain pure. So I encourage you, even, you know, if you're saving yourself for marriage, don't kiss just anyone. I think that's one of the things, if I could go back in that area. I, at that point, like I said, I liked kind of being validated, and I kissed a lot of guys, but, you know, I wish I had kind of saved that and made that more special in a way. So anyway, although, you know, you might feel like a dork if you're, you know, 17 and still haven't had a kiss yet, you have plenty of time to find a godly girl or guy. So for me, I could have easily been married by now, and I don't mean to say that in a boastful way, but, you know, I had opportunities and chances. If I had been less selective, if I had lowered my standards with some of the guys, I probably could have stayed with them. And one of my must-haves is a commitment to abstain from alcohol, that the man I marry must not drink. And that's hard to find in this day and age, and that's one of the reasons, I believe, why... I've stayed single as long as I have, but I would rather be happily single than be in a marriage or a relationship that's out of the Lord's will, or that's less than what I could have. And you know, there is a freedom with being single. The married people are like, yeah. you know, marriage is a wonderful thing. We tend to long for what we don't have. So we're working, we tend for retirement. And then when we get to retirement, you kind of, oh, I wish I was younger, I'm bored. Or, you know, you wish, oh, I wish I could have a baby, and babies are wonderful, but then you have babies and you're like, boy, I wish I could have the weekend to just go out on a date. And it's the same. It's the same with being single, too, you know? Sometimes you're like, when I see all my friends getting married and engaged and having babies out the wazoo, and, which I'm happy for them. I have, like, 1,400 friends on Facebook, so it's like a different person is having a baby every single day. But you know, I'm happily in the Lord's will, and I am not expecting perfection, but... I'm not willing to lower my standards in a way. So, you know, why does God tell us to wait until marriage? Why? What's the point? Carol, you look like you're one of those. They're
so
like,
good, but it's just forever.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Is blessed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have all those attachments to other people and all the regrets and all the, oh, I'm giving this to you, but it's not all that there was, and I can't ever get those.
There's
right
a comparison
back.
Between, you know.
It's special. It's nobody else is in the way. It's just that person for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It kind of, in a sense, marriage is kind of like showing what we're going to be like with God. Forever.
Very much so. That our hearts are meant for God alone. That's great. So yeah, it's very important.
It's very symbolic.
It is. Very much so. That's great. So it's hard, you know. As a teen, you know, you think it's love and you think, oh, I want this guy to stay with me, and if I don't have sex, he's not going to stay with me, and I want to show, you know. But at the same time, for a guy, you might just be another notch on his belt where he can go into the locker room on the weekend and be like, yeah, I went all the way, you know. So one of the big things, ask God for help to remain pure. There's no shame in that. When I go to the mall, I ask the Lord, I say, help me to have self-control, that I don't buy things I don't need. And the same thing, you know, God wants to help you. Ask His Holy Spirit to empower you to make the right decisions, to have self-control. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So we look at two stories quickly. We still have about 5 minutes. We're good.
Yeah.
Look at two stories. We're contrasts. And I forgot my Bible. Can I have Genesis 39? And you may know where I'm going. Genesis 39, a story about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And you've probably heard this before. What?
A whole series on Joseph.
Oh, really? Just recently, or?
It's been a little while.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Joseph is totally blessed by the Lord. He was very handsome. It says, let's see, in verse 6. So Potiphar left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. So he stayed away from that situation completely. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And you know the rest of the story. She tells the lie and said that he had, you know, molested her. But just to show you, he fled from that situation. He stayed out of the house. He stayed out of that situation completely. Opposite, if you look in 2 Samuel, and you may know where I'm going with this, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And now this is the story of David and Bathsheba. If I can turn the page here. Okay. So at the beginning of the chapter, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. He wasn't with all the other kings. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. And we'll go, you know, the story goes on from there, and he commits adultery with Bathsheba. But he wasn't in the right place at the right time. And instead of fleeing and looking away and getting out of that situation, he asked about her, and he prompted and wanted to find out more information instead of just saying no and fleeing. So, you know, two different stories that show how important it is to stay out of tempting places and to just resist temptation. So anyway, all this just to encourage you to remain pure until your wedding day. It's totally worth it. I'm sure these who are married will say it's, you know, it's worth waiting for. I encourage you, especially the girls, to get a piece of jewelry. You know, my parents gave me this ring when I was 14 for my birthday, and it was a True Love Waits ring, even though not kind of officially. But it's been a reminder to me all these years. I look down at it, little heart, and remember that commitment I made and how important it is. So, you know, Christmas is coming. There are True Love Waits jewelry lines on the web, on like Lifeway bookstores. But even just finding a ring you like, you know, whatever stone or shape, or a necklace or a bracelet, but I encourage you just to find something special. And I would think the majority of your parents wouldn't mind. Obviously, you don't have to go out and buy $1,000. That would probably be out of. But you know, it's just a reminder and a symbol. So last verse I'll leave with you. 1 Timothy 4:12, you all know it. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity.
You can't clap anymore, can you?
What?
You can't clap anymore, can you?
No, I can do this.
Oh, man. You are funny. Well, I hope that just this first night has been helpful to some of you. I mean, encouraging, maybe even challenging to some degree. I think this is a huge issue in our culture. And it's only going to get worse. I believe that with all my heart. And I think that we, not just our ladies in here, but the guys as well, we can set a standard that could change this world. I mean, just by the way we act, by the way we speak about women and about guys and how we treat each other and how we love each other. I mean, we can literally set a standard in our schools and in this community. And, I mean, it's crazy to think about, like, writing parties, but, I mean, what if we did and they stopped putting that on TV? I mean, you know, that is an incredible temptation, I think, to guys. And there's a lot of stuff out there that's an incredible temptation to women as well. I don't typically watch those commercials, so I don't know what that is, but I know that there's stuff out there like that. You know, and just the idea that we've got to have sex, otherwise we can't have love, essentially. I mean, I think that's just a huge lie. So we're going to just close in a moment of prayer, and I really hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged by what Andy said tonight, and that you'll also come Wednesday night when we're going to talk about the idea of taking this idea of modesty a step further and looking at it. I'm going to try to speak from the guy's perspective and just saying, here's what guys think when we see women who dress a certain way or we see pictures online. What does that do to us, essentially, and what are we thinking when that happens? So, let's pray. Father, we just lift you up right now and just pray, God, for your Holy Spirit to move in this place and just challenge us, Lord, draw us close to you. And may we, each one of us in here, whether we're a student or an adult, God, be able to help set a standard in this community where we work, where we live, God, in our schools, God, that we want to be Christ-like. That we want to live holy and righteous lives, that we want to be holy and pleasing to you, Lord, in everything we do, everything we say, the way we dress, by the way we treat each other. And may we all be able to live lives of purity. And God, be who you want us to be. Give us strength. Give us courage to speak up when we need to speak up. God, give us the strength to fight temptation and to flee from temptation. God, give us the ability to encourage each other and help lift up our brothers and sisters when we know that they're down. Give us the courage to confess sin when we're struggling, or just confess that, God, we're having a difficult time with somebody else. Put people in our lives that will help hold us accountable and challenge us and love us no matter what, whether we make a mistake or not. God, that we would be able to just draw closer to you, and God, and that we would be more like you. Give us that ability, Lord. Through your grace and through your strength, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.